I've been in the industry for my entire life, and there's never been such a program where you could build a home either manufactured, modular, or traditional stick frame construction with zero money out of your pocket.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSight and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Off-site construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, Audrey, there's a guest you got into Studio SBL, and to be totally honest, I haven't done the research, so I'm going to go in and learn about the USDA meat. Why USDA?
Well, the interesting thing about USDA is everybody thinks it's meat. It's actually not. It's actually loans. There's loans out there called the same thing.
So let's dive in and learn about the USDA and an awesome mastermind behind it. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage, I guess during the workday and just to quench my thirst, is a Coca-Cola.
There you go.
All right, there you go. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I've been a lot of places, but I think my most favorite would probably be living in Italy.
Oh, wow.
What part?
So I was in the north part of Italy, okay. Just north of Venice, in a little town called Monticello Conte Otto. Ooh,
wow.
Beautiful. Give us one story or experience from that.
Well, when I was there, I was in the service, and so I lived off post, and I lived with some Italian locals, and they actually had a hobby vineyard in their backyard on about 5 acres, and so I spent one summer tending the vines and learned everything about how to grow grapes and make red wine.
Wow.
And it was quite the life experience.
That's so cool. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction or loan arena?
I have so many, but probably I'm an artist at heart, and so I do a little bit of painting and a little bit of sculpting, and that's probably what I love to do the most when I'm not busy doing home construction and financing.
Cool. Well, welcome to Studio SBL. Give credit to Audrey on this one. They connected, and we have Scott Wilson with us today, who's the director of single-family housing programs for the rural development of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, and has a big background of real estate. Let's start off by reading his bio. Scott, the director of single-family housing programs for the USDA in the state of Colorado, he spent his career in the mortgage banking, land development, and home construction industries. His passion these days is making the dream of home ownership come true. So cool. For those underserved in rural America. And he's with us today to share a couple of the programs that USDA has to accomplish that. Well, let's start there. What is the USDA all about, and what are some of the programs for us here when we're talking SBL or systems-built construction or the new unique ways of the kind of non-traditional ways of construction?
So I work in a sub-agency called Rural Development, and Rural Development has about 40 different programs, but those programs are all, you know, all over the different scopes. And so I'm just going to talk about the single-family housing programs that we have, but we have community programs and business programs and multifamily housing programs. But in the single-family housing arena, we have primarily two major programs. One is called a single-family guaranteed loan, and the other one's called single-family direct loan.
Okay.
So before we go there, I would just like a brief summary of what has transformed in your life, because you really have a full circle of experience in who you are in your professional entity of business. And so can you just give an overview of how you started and what led you to go to the USDA department?
Okay, kind of a long story. We'll try to make it real short.
We got time, man. Let's peel back and learn all about Scott Wilson.
Okay. So I went to college at the University of Colorado on a full ride Army scholarship. And so when I, with a finance degree, was my was pursuing. And when I graduated, I owed the Army 4 years, and that's how I got to Italy. I'd spent some time in Germany and the Middle East as well.
Cool.
But when I got, after I got out of the Army, I got into mortgage banking. My parents were both real estate agents, and I said, you know, how can I use a finance degree in the real estate industry? And they said, don't get into real estate. And I said, oh, interesting. And so as I did my little work and investigation, I discovered, you know, people can do pretty well at originating home mortgages. And I found that interesting. And then I found a veteran that owned his own company that that interviewed me and said I'd be great at it. And so then I pursued home lending for a number of years. While I was doing that, like I shared with you, I'm an artist. So I had this passion to always like do construction on the side, and building homes was kind of my art medium. And so I would design homes and build homes on the side.
Hey, it sounds something like you, Devin.
There you go.
We can relate.
That's why art is before construction.
There you go.
Art of construction.
So I was originating loans for an organization called Cherry Creek Mortgage Company, who's become a very large national company, and I was running a branch, but I was also building homes on the side. And my home building practice started to get so large that I pretty much left the mortgage industry to build homes. And in the 90s, we had a period of time where there weren't a lot of infill lots to build on, so then I started acquiring dirt. And taking it through the entitlement process so that I'd have lots to build on, and then I would sell lots to other builders that I knew and those sorts of things. And that practice grew and grew. My niche was to buy dirt that most large developers weren't interested in it because they had issues with the properties, and I would solve those issues. And those were in areas like in the foothills and the evergreen conifer markets. And so that did really well. I was doing large communities, like 100-acre plus communities,
wow,
and selling 10-acre home sites to people that were building multi-million-dollar houses, and would spec build a couple million-dollar homes over time as well. And as we know, that industry did really, really well until about 2007, 2008, when the housing crisis hit. And at that time, it wiped me out. So I was over-leveraged. I was working on a big project up in Golden Gate Canyon, up by Golden Gate Canyon State Park. It was 550 acres, and
that's a huge project. I can't even imagine.
I was all in.
Yeah.
So everything leveraged to the maximum, and then when the market, I got it entitled through Jefferson County, and after entitlement, the banks decided not to lend me on the project, and then that's when everything started to crash and burn. And so over a matter of time, the banks took pretty much all that I had, and I ended up moving into my parents' basement.
How humbling, huh? You go through all of that. Great gains.
Yeah. I commend you for telling us the real story,
because right,
that's real, and that's what we love to peel back the layers of saying, especially in a market today, like everybody, you know, when it's good, everybody thinks it's going to be good forever. And
right,
when it's bad, everybody thinks it's going to be bad forever. But there's one thing I can guarantee a tribe, it will go up and it will go down,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
when you hear those stories, it puts you into reality check of right now. You know, my whole premise is always be marketing and take massive action.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's good, you should be even doing more of that, right? And work smarter, not harder. So thank you for telling us that story and your background. So we went up to the top of 550-acre development to the bottom of the parents' basement. And where do we go from there?
Well, I was, you know, development and construction was in the tanks, and mortgage banking was too, because it's tied to that those industries. And so I was looking for any kind of position across the nation, and it took actually a couple years to find a position. But I finally went back into mortgage banking. I worked for a company called Megastar Financial, which is a national lending institution here headquartered in Denver. And I was asked to help them launch a loan program called an FHA 203K loan. And the FHA 203K is a purchase and renovation rehab loan.
Okay.
And so we developed a program for them and launched it into the markets that they wanted to be in. And it did well, and I was with them for a number of years. sometimes I don't know how professional I need to be in this conversation. So it's like I want to share with you the stuff that.
Yeah, this is a fireside chat. That's the beauty of a podcast is there's no one that tells us what we can and cannot say. So the more authentic, the more I like. And when we get the feedback from the tribe, it's the authenticity is pretty sweet. Okay. So wherever you want to go, my man.
All right. So. So before I got that job with Megstar, I really was trying to, during that 2-year period of time, figure out, you know, what the future holds for me. I pretty much lost everything. I ended up in divorce.
That's a tough time. That's really unreal. Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. And so I said, you know, it was an epiphany. I said, yeah, I really want to do something to give back at this stage in my life. It's not all about making money.
Cool.
And so I was really looking to find employment in the nonprofits. And I applied, but... I had some interviews, and then I had some analysis done, and the testing that was done on me. They'd always come back and say, "Wow, you tested great," and I said, "Oh, okay, great for this job." And I said, "Well, I don't know if it was great for this job. Some of your strengths are you're very entrepreneurial and very charismatic, and we don't know if that fits well with nonprofits." And I said, "Oh, okay." So the door never opened for me, and that's how. And then I eventually got the job with Megastar, but. At Megastar, what interests me about the FHA 203K is it as a loan program that serves first-time home buyers. It serves the underserved and those in need as well. And so in a way, it was like working in a nonprofit type arena, but being able to help those that needed help, you know. So after about 5 years of working in that business, I said to myself, well, I guess I'm going to be back in the mortgage industry and this is where I'm going to be until, you know, I retire. And who knows how that will look, because when you're in the financial industry, you know, you got great titles, but you don't get a lot of income or a lot of benefits for retirement.
Yeah.
So I'm like going, I don't know how that's going to look. Maybe I will never be able to retire. And so in talking from that time frame, I had actually met a lady, and she loved me when I had no money and I lived in the basement, and ended up getting married. So having conversations at home in the evening while I was in that job, I said, I guess I'm going to do this, or maybe there'd be a chance I could get into the nonprofit arena, or maybe I could go back to work in the government because I was in the Army for so long and that would count towards retirement and those sorts of things. And so I began looking online at the U.S. government jobs available. And this job surfaced as an open position, and I applied for it. I didn't know what it consisted of at the moment. And so I said, huh, that's interesting. The official title of my position is supervisory loan specialist. And in the private sector, that means nothing to people. And it didn't mean anything to me either. But it talked about home mortgages and lending and those sorts of things. So
all the things that you're completely familiar with,
right,
on so many levels.
So I went to interview for it, and that's a whole story in itself. I won't bore you with the details, but it took about 3 or 4 months before I actually got hired on with the government.
So honestly, thank you for telling us that story, because it brings it all full circles to say, you know, it's all about getting the right person in the right place. Man, sometimes it's quite a journey, you know. For me, I was divorced young. I was moving. I found out the corporate world. The entrepreneurial thing, I had really good mentors that helped put me in the right place. And I'm doing the same thing owning a window and door company that I did in the corporate world, just in the right person in the right place. And I was a disaster in the corporate world. So, you know, it's finding your passions and that journey along the way from the ups and downs to say, if I'm understanding it right, you now can be working in that kind of nonprofit world in doing the loan mortgage things and your finance degree and being in the services and all those things at the end of the day are all kind of coming together and meshing. Is that fair?
That's very fair. That's
awesome. That's really cool, man. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So here we are today. Let's dive back in, knowing this awesome story about Scott Wilson, right person, right place. And that right place is with the USDA. So just give us a quick overview of that for me, who's going to school on all this stuff. To be honest, I'll raise my hand and say, I don't really know what even the USDA really means from a 30,000 foot view. And then let's talk about a few more stories
because,
specific to
you know,
this.
On that, on the USDA, don't you think of meat? USDA meat?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, right.
If
USDA
I was
approved.
Honest, I think of government layers that I don't like government, so I just don't even take time to pay attention to it. And shame on me. But
right.
that's where I'm at on the whole thing.
So, yeah, I mean, in fact, when most times I introduce myself, I work for USDA, people say, oh, so you're a meat inspector?
Right,
or something,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Produce inspector or something along those lines. And I'm like, no, I'm actually a banker.
Right.
They go, how does a banker work in USDA? So USDA Rural Development, that's primarily what they are. They're a banking division of the government, and they do community program loans, business program loans, single-family housing program loans, and multifamily housing program loans. So within the division that I work in, we focus primarily just on single-family housing loans. And the USDA loan program has been around for a number of years. I don't know exactly how many. I think it's over 30. They have some programs within the single-family housing division that have been around for even longer than that. But we're just going to focus on the home mortgage lending that the consumers could possibly use to build homes with. And so those two programs we have are the Single Family Guaranteed Program and the Single Family Direct Program. The Guaranteed Program is a program that lenders use out across the nation. And, you know, a lot of your large lenders like a Wells Fargo or Bank One or those sorts offer the USDA loan. There are certain requirements for being able to borrow money with the USDA loan. One, you have to live in the home that you're buying has to be in an eligible area, and we have eligible area maps on our websites that you can plug in addresses, and it will tell you. Typically, we only lend in areas with populations of less than like 30,000 people. And so geographically, it would be your non-metropolitan areas, and most of your areas outside of the metropolitan areas will qualify for the USDA financing. So that's kind of our first kind of criteria. Another criteria would be people's incomes. And so for the guaranteed program, borrowers' incomes are based on family size. So it's how many people in the family, and then how many people are employed in the family, and then what their incomes are. And then there's income limits for each county. So,
which I think is so great, because think about this. There is now, for individuals out there that maybe don't have the luxury of making $100,000 a year, right? There is something, there's some providing a service for individuals that don't have a high income level, that they can still have an opportunity to live somewhere that they enjoy and they love. So that is one of the reasons why I really wanted Scott on the show, because not all of us have all these amazing opportunities, but there's still programs out there to help you.
Right, and I go back to the beginning of when, Audrey, you were on the Art of Construction podcast, and after the interviews, you're like, you know, this is my passion because I want to help people get into a house that, in today's world, it's really, really hard.
Especially
back when we talked about the ups and the downs, you know, that 550 acres you put together probably still came to fruition, and somebody captured the investment that you created. And so, yeah. And so that's the challenge of the real world, right? So these programs, what I want to do is kind of go down a journey of put myself in a, let's say I'm the developer or the person that's interested in doing this. And we've had all these amazing interviews now that we've built and went to school of Katerra that can help bring a system there, or a 303 development that's looking at getting, you know, into this world to help people. And so let's go down the checklist of kind of just how this works, because I think a lot of people rely on some mortgage person and they may or may not know all of the details. So I always like to say, don't expect what you don't inspect. So when you're working with your partners, the FHA guidelines behind that, they may handle that, but, you know, knowledge is power. So by putting this power together, I think we can all help each other. So we started by you saying it's, you know, you have a mapping area that you focus on that's kind of in those rural areas, which again is really cool,
right,
for those towns that are struggling, as well as offsite construction. It's easier to get offsite construction to those rural areas versus the city. If you go back to, you know, when we did Jeopardy and talked through all those different challenges of city infill lots. So geographic is a big part of what you do. And then how to qualify is based on kind of your family side, the needs of how they qualify, and then your income. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
So there's kind of step one and two. Where do you go? Where do I go next as a developer? I'm going to help Audrey put this together.
It's more of an individual basis, right? It's more helping individuals maybe finding those areas, and maybe it is a developer taking that land and offering these opportunities. But when I was speaking with you, Scott, in particular, and we were talking about the process of someone applying for a USDA loan, why don't we talk about how that process works? And then we can go back to Devin's question about how are people finding these, or how, if you are a land developer, maybe there's an engagement where they can work and find these areas to purchase and put these communities together.
Okay. So before we go there, maybe I need to touch on another loan program. So it's the direct program. So I was telling
you because the direct is
about the the geographic requirements and the income requirements, but we have another program called the direct program, and the guarantee program, just so people are clear, is actually managed and everything's done by outside lending institutions.
Right. So like your example, Wells Fargo has a program. They actually build their own program for the USDA.
Yep. And they get approved, and then they sell it, and then they originate it, and all we do is guarantee that loan. Some people in the industry say, well, what does that mean when you guarantee a loan? When USDA guarantees a loan, the lender, Wells Fargo, is the lender. They lend their money, and they're taking their risk to make that loan. But if they make it based on our rule set and something happens to the borrower and the borrower can't make their payment and Wells Fargo has to foreclose and resell the property and suffers losses, then USDA will share in those losses.
Awesome.
So that's what guaranteed means. On the direct program, that's where a borrower would come directly to USDA. And in those situations, their income is very low or low in relation to what the medium area income is for that county that they're trying to purchase in.
A lot of those individuals may not have a computer. They may not have access to viability of options to be able to do this, right? So
correct.
How does that process work?
So those borrowers will typically get funneled into a nonprofit housing authority. That's where they start. And that housing authority has people that work within their organizations called packagers. A packager's title is just a nonprofit sector title. In the private sector, title would be a loan officer. So that packager then helps the borrower put their loan application package together and then sends it to USDA, who would then underwrite it.
How many of those do you do a year?
Package loans and or 502 direct total, we do in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 loans a year.
Gotcha.
In Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So under the direct program, we have greater leniency, and it allows for a borrower to stretch a loan over 38 years so that they can qualify for more.
Gotcha.
We have the ability to subsidize the interest rates down to 1%. So that their payment would be smaller, which would then allows them to qualify for more. And so with that internal program, we have greater flexibility to help those underserved and in need, you know, be able to accomplish homeownership.
Yeah, your end result really is trying to get them in a home.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does underserved mean? Is there a criteria based on the area like we were talking about, or how does that all work?
It's mostly income driven. So it's those that would normally not be able to qualify for a mortgage in a rural area because their income's so low that when you apply the normal ratio requirements of 29% house payment to income ratio and a 41% total debt to income ratio, they don't qualify for $50,000 or $75,000, which we know you can't really buy anything out there for those dollar amounts. But when you stretch your loan over 38 years and you lower the interest rate or subsidize it to 1%, that now that borrower who only qualified for $75,000 can now qualify for $175,000.
Great example. Totally. But and that's where you still, even if you want to do it in Denver, you couldn't do it. You have to go to the right areas, even if that wasn't the criteria.
Right. 175 is not going to buy you much in Colorado,
right,
but
right.
It will definitely buy you a really nice manufactured house in rural Colorado.
Right.
Yoder, Callahan, I mean, you name it, Byers, Strasburg, Bennett, you get outside of the Denver metro area. Right. People can now afford something.
So, you know, it's interesting, Scott, because we had another interview with Jay Skolnick, which is with Colorado Factory Modular. And what he does is he actually is a land developer, getting back to your land development conversation, Devin. So what he does is he purchases the land. He obviously gets the water rights, get all those things organized. And then he has homes that are, you know, somewhere between, you know, maybe 295 to 350, somewhere in there, all in. So it makes it somewhat affordable for individuals to be able to afford something like that. I know it may not be the same with the individuals that you have for the USDA loan, but there are options and people are starting to understand that we have to start helping each other. We have to give people the opportunity to live a life where they can live somewhere and be proud of it.
Right. And at the end of the day, it's all about partnerships. And a business, you know, even if it's a nonprofit business, you still have to find a way to pay the bills on whatever you're doing. And if you want to say, hey, we had to call our new construction someone. Everybody's like, if you can find me land, I'll go.
Right.
If you can find me land and people, let's go. Well, maybe you got to think a little bit differently. Maybe you expand into a more rural area, find somebody there, and teach them your business strategies that they want to live in a rural area. And something like this could be a whole business opportunity that you may not be thinking about.
Well, that's what was so great when Scott contacted me and we started talking. I think the first conversation, we were talking for like an hour. And I was just so intrigued because being someone in the industry, I've heard of USDA loans. I just didn't understand enough about them. And then knowing that people can actually go through this packaging, get pre-approved, and are waiting to find an opportunity to buy a house, right? A lot of them wait to see if they can buy an existing home for that same price value, which is almost near impossible. We all know the average price in Metro Denver, I mean, you're looking at an average of $450,000 to $500,000. That doesn't exist in this program for these individuals. And so I can relate. I mean, it's not like I live in a $500,000 home. You know, I'm like every other person out there just trying to survive and make things work and make ends meet. And so having that, you know, that conversation with you, Scott, was really enlightening because I felt like there's hope. And it's nice to see that there is a government agency allowing this and having the conversation.
You know, I think the one thing that we've not said once for this from the start of this conversation is the USDA loan programs are zero money down.
So, hello.
So when we talk about how they're such a great instrument to help others, they're helping people that have zero money to put down in home ownership. So it's a zero money down construction loan. And who's ever heard of such a thing? I've been in the industry for my entire life, and there's never been such a program where you could build a home either manufactured, modular, or traditional stick frame construction with zero money out of your pocket.
Definitely. And so you said 150 to 200 a year, and you said there's a list of people that are qualified. Now they're trying to figure out where can I do this and accomplish this? Is there if I'm intrigued saying, well, now I want to know what this list is and see if it's a business plan that makes sense for me to get involved in, where would I go?
So if you're like a provider of homes.
Yeah, a provider. Say I'm an offsite construction person that wants to connect these dots. Is there a list or you call or how could I say, hey, I want to be the person to put together this subdivision, for a lack of better term, or a place to look at this and execute?
Well, people can call me and I can share with them how the program works. Once we pre-qualify and have a borrower qualified to buy a home, we really can't share that information. That's all private.
Understood.
Governmental information, so it's like we can't distribute it. But I definitely have conversations with people, because I'd say 100% of the people that come to us don't come to us for a construction loan. They come to us because they heard about how great our loan program is and how it helps people get
into. That's why
homes.
I'm asking. I know you can't say, well, here's Betty, Joe, and Alex that live in Strasburg, call them up and go build them a house. But what I'm trying to say is saying, here's a geographic area. Here's something that we could partner up, because I'm sure your job is to get these executed, not get them qualified. And
right.
That's what I'm trying to connect the dots.
So the biggest hurdle is convincing a borrower, if they really want to own, the way they can guarantee home ownership to themselves is to build a house. Because in our marketplace, there aren't any houses for them to buy. So like last year, we probably qualified 100 people that then did not buy a home.
And that's my assumption. That's yeah.
So I have conversations with them, and my staff has conversations with these borrowers saying, hey, we know how difficult it is out there. We know, number one, that there's a lack of affordable housing in Colorado. CHAFA did a study in 2014, said there's 44,000 deficient units of affordable housing. And so when a home that's in a couple hundred thousand price range pops up, you know, there's a lot of competition for that. And our borrowers aren't the borrowers that typically win those offer wars, you know.
Right.
The real estate agents say, we'll take the deal where the person's putting, you're going to pay cash, or we'll take the deal where they're putting 20% down because there's something to lose. When we take offers, government offers, FHA, VA, or USDA with zero money down, then, you know, there's risk involved there. One, there's going to be appraisal issues possibly. Two, there's nothing the borrower is going to lose if they back out of the transaction in some cases.
Yeah.
And so they don't get to capitalize and being able to purchase a home. So then we have a conversation with them, and that conversation I have with a lot of the borrowers before they get started. And I say, you know, we can go through this process. It takes a lot of time, effort, and energy to do, but the challenging part of it will be you're not going to find a house to buy, or if you do, you're going to learn that it's highly competitive and you're not going to win those offers. So if you want to guarantee yourself home ownership, you'd really want to think about land home construction type program where we will lend you the money to buy a lot, lend you the money to either have a manufactured home delivered and put together, or a modular home delivered and put together,
right,
and or build one from scratch if you can put it into the budget that you're qualified for.
Right. There's no doubt cash is king, and in this market, there's a lot of moving parts. But I challenge you, Tribe, to say, you know, back when I had several investment properties, I had a few houses that were Section 8. And the Section 8 means the government helps pay part of their rent, but you have to get the house already, and you have to have this, and it's a process to get through that. But I tell you what, going through that process, it was so honorable for me to have this great family that couldn't live in a house to be able to do it, and then they were so passionate together about their place. And I think there's some similarities between that program and what you're talking about here. And it's our job as the leaders of the system built revolution is to say, maybe this program short term, yeah, someone coming with cash, but put together a long term business plan to where, last time I checked, I don't think the government's going away. I think there's maybe a little bit more government out there. And why I'm bringing this up is to say, think about this as a value stream for you and your business and your tribe around you for long term, and to set this up. Because I don't think there's a lot of people thinking that right way. Right now, everybody's trying to stuff their pockets and whoever pays the cash. And so think back about the value. And going back to your story from the beginning from your ups and downs, you know, finding out what makes you tick, man, how cool is that to have somebody that is genuinely maybe couldn't afford to have a house and you could be part of that? So I challenge you to think about this as an option in your business. Would you say that's fair to say?
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool.
Yep.
So in closing, I want to talk through recap a few of these things as far as some of the awesome benefits that is when you talk about non-traditional financing and non-traditional construction methods. I really am connecting the dots between both of these because you got conventional and non-conventional. Well, the most non-conventional today is cash. You know, and the first three rules of business: never run out of cash, never run out of cash, never run out of cash, right? So when you were in the good times and you ran out of cash because of leverage from the banks, this might be a way when a good time to leverage and offset those things. So the benefits of the program of, you know, the time, 38 years, so you can defer that monthly payment. That, you know, cash is king. Have cash in the bank. Lower those payments. 1%, that's like, I've never heard of anything like that. That, you know, they say today is the 3-4% is that free money. And when inflation hits, there's going to be an offset when the interest rates tick up, and no money down. Well, a lot of people, that's where they're living paycheck to paycheck. I think your lifestyle would move up a little bit if you could maybe go from barely being able to pay your rent to owning a home.
Absolutely.
So that's all the stuff that I think is really cool of how we're connecting the dots today. So in closing, wrap that up and bring it all full circle. If there's one thing you want the listening audience to grow to hear to help them grow their business, bring us home here, Scott.
How great would it be to not only be able to make a decent income and make a good living, but to do it while helping others? Bottom line. So,
bottom line. Well said.
There it is.
Well, thanks for coming in. Tell us your story. Great job, my man.
Appreciate it, Devin. Thank you.
I love when people genuinely tell their story and open up because, man, it's really from the mistakes in the past that we can learn to move forward. And Scott did such a good job. I'm honored, you know, thanks for your services and the, you know, with
the
Army and the story
knowing, you know,
and your ups and downs. You know, we are massive fans, and our job now is to help connect the dots to say these programs have a purpose and a place, but it's getting awareness out there for people to know how to put massive action and make it happen, right?
And you may have somebody in your family or everybody is connected to someone, right? And we're all out there trying to help our neighbor, always trying to figure out what we can do to provide assistance. And listening to these opportunities like 0% down and these opportunities with these loan programs, there is something that allows us to be able to live a great lifestyle at any level.
Awesome. Well said. So go take massive action and help build your lifestyle. Hopefully SBL is a great voice for that. Cheers, tribe. Crush it out there.